Again. So for the second time, Kevin, can you start off on your life story for me, please?
Well, I could start off at less. I think that would be more interesting for everybody, really.
Again.
Okay, is it on already?
Yep.
Well, I hope it can hear me then.
If you could just tell me both your sort of names and then we'll know who we're...
Okay,
well,
right.
You ask some sort of guiding
you
questions.
You ask questions and we'll answer them.
All right, well, if you can just tell me your names, then if we lose the transcript, you see, at least the person that puts the tape on knows who's talking about.
And if
we burble, just shut us up.
Right. Off you go, then.
Well, how do we start?
Well, just... when were you actually interned?
Well, we'll say I'm Rosemary Dalheim, and this is Anita Dalheim, and we first came to the island on the 29th of May 1940.
We'd already lost Mother on the train, coming off the boat.
They collected us on the 27th of May, 7:30 in the morning from Hull, and then they brought us... We packed up the house. There was us two, our mother and a baby sister.
They said we might be interned 3 days, didn't they?
But the policewoman said to us when we were packing, a horrible policewoman, and she was always following us, what are you doing there? And there were two men searching the house. I don't know what they were looking for.
We were saying goodbye to our dolls, I would think.
And the policewoman said to us, she said, pack your bathing suits, you might be going to the Isle of Man. And then she said to our mother, and pack a little tea apron, dear, you might need it.
So Mama packed that taffeta with a big frill, didn't she?
Yes, so she packed a tea apron. We packed our bathing suits and then...
We slept in an art room in a school in Bradford.
We stopped at Bradford for the first stop.
We were ladies. We put in curlers and Lady Jane hairnets. Everybody lying
on
these...
And we slept on stretchers. In this art room, and
the next day we were put on the buses to Liverpool.
The next day we were up early and then we went to Liverpool on a bus. And we got to Liverpool, we were in this huge boxing arena, and they were collecting everybody from all over, all women and children.
You could see batches coming in every
and we just sat on these
various...
seats, and there were tip-up seats, and we'd had breakfast, I think we had porridge or something, I can't remember, and then we sat in this rink, and in front of us there was a woman, and she had, it must have been a newly born baby, tiny, and she was forever changing its blooming nappy.
Yes, we were sitting right behind this little baby,
and then
nothing to eat, was there?
And then finally they brought sandwiches, and, you know, there must have been thousands in there. And there was this one woman, we knew her, she was British born.
Was she the pastor's wife?
Yes, she was the pastor's wife. And
she interned herself voluntarily?
Don't think she had then. I don't think voluntary internment came then. Anyway, they passed around whatever sandwich, there wasn't much, there was fish paste and cheese. And by the time it got to her, there was only fish paste or meat paste left. And we'll never forget this. And she said, I want cheese. I'm afraid there isn't any cheese. Well, I want cheese. I'm British born and I want cheese. She never got her cheese, British born or not. And then they said, you're going to stay the night here. I mean, these hard tip-up seats. So, we said, oh, heck. And then suddenly they said, no, you're not. Suddenly, this is the ice was okay. And then...
Took us down to the docks then, didn't
they?
Then
we went in buses down to the docks. Our side was emptied. And well, on the way to the... docks, they must have heard, you know, Germans are coming in buses. And there were all people lining the streets, and there was one woman holding up a Union Jack. I mean, whatever that good that was supposed to do. We were on the front seat in the bus, because we always went to the front seat. And they were throwing stones and lumps of earth at the bus, you know. Ooh. And then we got to the ship, the dock. And we were on the Josephine Charlotte, and it was a Belgian ship, and it was already packed. It was wherever you went, the women on the bar counters, on the floors, on the stairs, But because we had a baby with us, this 18-month-old girl, we got a bunk, and all the women and children were down below in the bunk. So the four of us got a bunk.
We sort of lay like our dolls, didn't we? Like,
I don't know how we slept, but we did sleep.
Because the baby in the middle.
And we went round the ship a few times before we settled. And we saw all these women lying all over.
We were sleeping on the bar, under the bar, on the companionway.
Wherever there was a space, there was a woman, and you had to step over them.
They must have had
and
more
then the ship stayed. And you won't remember, we didn't have bags in those days when you were seasick on the ship. You got these awful sort of metal containers. They were square with a hole in the middle.
And they hooked onto
your bunk. And all the babies were using those as potties. And they were all sitting on these horrible, and they were always rusty, all these horrible.
Yes, they were always rusty and smelly.
There were all these babies in the bottom cabin. Oh, it was quite revolting. But, I mean, you get used to it. And then the ship didn't start until very late at night. We were all asleep. And then, yes, have you said? You take milk. Oh, you've got milk. Sugar. Have a bun. I'm just offering boners. Largesse. Anyway.
Shall I what should you like?
Those are nice. The gingers are delicious.
I'll open it for you. They're gorgeous.
What are you going to have? A bun. They're lovely. They're homemade.
We break off this tape for light refreshments.
Yes, because paper makes an awful noise, doesn't it? You know, if somebody rustles on a tape, it's like an earthquake or something, isn't it?
So how long did the crossing take?
So, I don't know, we were asleep.
Probably 4 hours, the same as...
Yes, they probably didn't leave till well after midnight, because we woke up and it was just starting... Well, it was quiet light when Leith and I woke up, because it was May. We went on deck, see what was what, and then we saw the island approaching. And then after a bit we thought, better go down and join mother and baby, so we did, and then... We didn't come up again until, you know, then you got ushered up onto the gangways and up onto the, you know, how long it
took hours
to
usher everybody up those stairways.
And then we walked out and all along the quayside to the railway station.
It's quite a long walk, isn't it?
The Manx people were lined up. And
what was the master race?
And this one man, he said it. Huh! I mean, I heard it and nobody else. Well, I mean, he just said when we passed. Oh, he said, look at
us. He took one look at us. Not these visage, but not very different.
They call themselves the master race. Oh, and it made me so cross. You know, I was awful. Oh, we are, what do you mean? You know. Well, I mean, I thought all this lot aren't us, you know, because we were so...
Would you like sugar, Nigel?
No, fine.
But anyway, he said that and it made... I never forgot that because, you know, it hurt. I thought, well, we're just people, really, you know. Never mind masters. We're not... Don't look that awful. So then we got to the railway station, there were all the little trains lined up, and so then they were already filling up the little carriages, and then they got out and said, well, we'll take women and children first, so our mother and baby were shoved into one, and we were left there, and they said, oh, you'll be next.
Oh, you're big girls, you can manage on
your own.
Big girls. I don't think we'd ever left mother, but we've been evacuated, so we have been.
Oh, never mind, you'll be all right. And then finally we got on, our mother's train set off, we said, oh, heck, that's her gone, you know. And then, well, there were always people there ushering and looking after you. We were very quiet, sort of, didn't...
Just accepting. I've just copied out my dad. If one were interned, I just accepted being interned as though it was...
Well, we hadn't been evacuated.
Another day at school.
And it was war, and things happened in the war.
And all the things that I've written when we were released and interned, and it's all just written in my diary, so it's, you know, a bit of...
Nothing. And our father had been interned in the First World War, wasn't anything new.
And brother was interned as the minute he was 16, so in his grammar school cap.
They'd come for them on the 12th of May, just 2 weeks before us. And they'd come for our father already on the 1st of September.
We were on holiday, the war hadn't even started.
We'd rented a
cottage in Bridlington.
And there was a knock at the door, we were having tea, and our father went, and they said, we've come to intern you, Mr. Dalheim.
There wasn't even a war.
But there isn't a war, never mind, there will be a war.
So he was stuck into Hull jail. Then you know, exercise with the crooks.
And then he came out at Christmas, so we had a family Christmas.
So again. He was released in the war, it doesn't make sense.
And then they came again in May, then there was the panic, you know, it was whatever it was. Dunkirk, wasn't it then? Something was happening in May. So they interned everybody, women and children.
Oh, that's the colour of the lot bit, isn't it? There was quote.
And then, so, you know, then we, then back to Douglas, we got on the next train and then we went off and we were squashed into this carriage, all these weird women, all jabbering German.
Well, we hated the Germans then, didn't we? We were very English. We spoke German at home only with our parents. We were very English. I mean, I was born in Hull. We're very English. Really, we like the nice things of Germany, but I don't think we like Germans.
We like visiting our grandma. You know, we always used to visit grandma.
Because they probably always told us off in Germany. We were very free, weren't
they? Any strangers would tell you off in Germany. I always remember
our parents were quiet swinging and nice. You know, we were not swinging something. To be told off. But the minute you went to Germany, they'd tell you things.
And this German one told us she'd stop doing it.
I've never forgotten that, and it wasn't me.
No, it wasn't even you.
I've never forgotten it. I hate unfairness. And I hate injustice. I was only about eight, and I've never forgotten that.
And Anita said to her, it wasn't me, so she just...
She was cross because I was answering back.
Did you feel a sense of injustice when you were interned?
Not at all. It was the war. You see, Father had been interned in the First World War, and he never even talked about it. And it was rotten then.
He used to tell funny stories. They used to get herrings with maggots crawling in, and, you know, well, just life.
Well, and he was in charge of the commandant's office. Did I tell you that then? And we have this photo of him with all these military men, the English fellows, and Papa was sitting at his desk. He still had a little Anthony Eden moustache. And they didn't even bother to read the things. He was a prisoner. And he left all the office in his charge. And he used to say, Papa always called this, it's all right, you write, Mr. Dallard, this Lieutenant Colonel said, I'll just sign it. So all the camp running was done by an enemy alien. But that's the war, you see. And those were the only stories we know of Papa.
And his herrings.
And his herrings with maggots. So he never bore anybody a grudge. Well, he knew he wasn't naturalised. He never even thought about it.
Never bothered.
He was neither German or English. He was just a man. Really.
So how did you get meet up again with your mum?
Oh, then we found her in St Catherine's Church Hall.
Oh, yes, then we all came out of the train in Port Erin and we were sort of marched across St Catherine's Hall. And she was there already with the baby. And then up comes this Mrs... Davis.
Oh, Mrs. Daddy Miss Davis. Davis. Miss Davis. She always had a lopsided cap.
Berry, like a berry.
Gros grand, you know, like rips, what do you call
yes,
that?
Yes. So
and it was the fashion. And so since then, I haven't thought about that for 50 years. My mother always called that Ina Davis Mutzer, a Davis cap. Every time we saw them, isn't that because of Miss Davis?
Yes.
We've loads of funny family sayings. Mother and father were like that.
So then Mrs. Davis said, or Miss Davis, I think she was.
She was lovely. She was sort of WRBS, wasn't she?
Oh, there are your girls, dear. And then she said, because you've had such a worrying time, she said, I'll put you in a really nice house. She said, come along with me. So we went up the hill to the sunset view, which is now part of the ocean. The Port Erin Royal, I think it is. It was just
no, it's the Snaefell one, which has probably got another name. It was the last one of the Snaefell before Port Erin Royal.
Yes, something like that. And it was just one house.
Just between us and the big one, Bellevue it was.
And there were 28 of us there, weren't there? And there was just one other little boy. How old was probably 2 years old. The 2 year old boy with his mother and her stepdaughter.
Thought there were only 19.
Seven other 28 in...
Really?
How many in a room?
Well, we had a family room.
We were four
we
in
had
a
the
room.
Back room.
They were all crammed in quite, you know.
I think mostly two in a room, because they're fairly small back bedrooms, those in the wings.
There were the double rooms and maybe some...
And Weissman's. Oh, that was the other place.
No, they were in the
then probably little Bobby had another family room. Bobby
they
and
had
mother
the
and sister.
Over us.
Oh, well, the two big ones were family rooms then.
And then the lounge, of course, was the front. And there was another front bedroom. I think there were four women in that. I can't remember who they were. And then the first meal we had was a salad lunch. We were starving by then because we'd hardly eaten anything. And then as soon as we got changed, you know, had the same clothes on for 3 days, we just rushed down to the beach. It was so
just
angry.
Said to Mona, this lighthouse and that sand.
Down these steps by the lighthouse and onto
and
the
these
beach.
Cottages. I've always wanted
nothing
to write a story is to sit at the top there. And I've got the beginning of my story because I've had it about 50 years. And I've got to write it someday. I won't tell you anymore.
No, well, that was it. Then
we loved all this. Oh.
We were in Port Erin in Sunset View, and you put 28 women together in a house, and they were all mixed up. There were Jewesses, there were other women.
Volatile Viennese.
Viennese, Austrians,
rough
Germans,
women from the
common ones.
And aristocratic ones.
And posh ones, and, you know, sort of...
Quiet ones.
Quiet ones, and like us, sort of... Residents, we were B category, the long residents. There were the heirs, those who had just come across from Germany. Well, they were called them the Nazis, but they weren't necessary. They were just sent,
like the pastors, you see. We're just saying, to moment, all the pastors we knew, they were Siemens.
They were maybe businessmen.
They were sent from Germany.
Businessmen who'd come across and...
Lots of businessmen.
And nurses and the maids, you know.
All those who were in the circus and
the circus
ballet. They were
just temporarily in England.
Cultural visitors or whatever.
And then there were the Sees. They were all the refugees, you know, not just Jews, but political refugees.
And so you'd have a mix of those three in
a complete mix in one house.
Oh, yes.
And then there was this one horrible woman, well, I hate her, called Josie. So she appointed herself
house leader.
And so she sort of told everyone what to do. And, you know, at first you accept it, and then later on the ruction started. You know, who she thinks she is. And, you know, Germans are very, very class conscious. Very class conscious. You're die Person, you know.
Yeah, so is she telling me to put my knitting somewhere else? Or
so then the row started. And it's all in my diary. M slapped K and K slapped. So
we were a god, we'd never seen behaviour like that.
We heard language we never knew existed, these women screeching at each other. Our family kept out of it.
No, just women who'd left the kitchen dirty or who hadn't done their duty with hanging up the tea towels. Petty.
Just silly things. And this Josie, she got me working because I was 15 and she probably didn't like to see me loafing around because everybody... who hadn't a baby, the two women with little children, Alma and...
They were exempt, and I was exempt because I was a schoolgirl.
And I wasn't, and Josie didn't like to see me loafing around, so she said... she only spoke English, and that annoyed me, because her English was so appalling. You can polish all the knobs in the house. You get the brasso and you go up there and you do it first thing in the morning before breakfast. So... I went up the next morning, got up early. I've never forgotten this, and I polished all these brass knobs on all the bedrooms. And then at breakfast next that morning, the women said to me, will you do it more quietly next time you woke us up?
I used to hear her rattling, because we didn't get up as early.
Then I had to help with the drying up, and I just show you, I mean, I didn't realise I did it. Any time I took a plate, dry up.
You probably never dried up at home.
No, maids. So I was very resentful, I was furious, I mean, to think that I should wash up. I always took a plate like that, then I was like that on the draining board. I don't know why, but I did.
It's like Werner does with his teaspoon, even though I was interned with us.
And then she screamed at me, you're dying me mad, you do that, stop doing that. I said, what am I doing? Now that you bang the plate like this. You never forget those things.
It's funny, the things we remember.
So where was the school?
Oh, it didn't start for a while.
For ages. Then it started up.
Rather private.
And then we'd moved. Well, they closed Sunset View because of all these rows.
They then sent us to Bradder Glen.
So our family went to Bradder Glen.
And there was no place left except that tiny little cottage next to the boiler house where old Mr. Shimmin lived.
Yes, there was a
gorgeous
little
staff
cottages, and our family got a little staff cottage.
All four in this tiny cottage, just about as big as this room.
Yeah, not much bigger, no. Couple of beds and a cot, and that we loved it.
And it's then, a house in the woods, wasn't it?
Yes, and then they put all the mothers with babies in the sea view. It was all balconies then, because they had...
Each one was a door that opened onto the balcony, like chalets, really, only in one building.
So then the manager, he said to our mother one day, you and the baby can go into the sea view, and the girls are going to the ladies' hostels. That's gone now, the ladies' hostels.
That's where the swings are. There was a long hut, you could see where the washrooms were. You know.
So we went into the ladies' hostel, and there was still no school, and then this was in August.
Was it the Quakers or Minna Specht started all?
I don't know who started the first school, because Minna Specht was in Port St Mary.
Oh.
And then...
Then they had the lounge of the Bradder Private. That was our first school.
Because you went, I didn't. I was already...
I have no memories of it, except I'm doing handstand against the wall in lessons. There wasn't really anyone to teach us. We'd left high school, and I mean, school was very casual, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, nobody really bothered, and nobody checked up if you went or not. And then they opened a kindergarten at the Roney. That's all been rebuilt, hasn't it?
Up on the golf course.
The golf link house. It's just been a lovely little house. And then we were in Bradder Glen, and then there was this little wittering woman, and she came to see me once. She said, you have now is the adolescent class, you can go. By then I was 16, and I'd never I was supposed to do my matric at school in June.
She was delighted that
I was delighted because I never worked at school. I was the laziest one in the class. She said, you can now go to this school. So that the adolescent class was at the back of the Strand Cafe where the vet surgery is now, the room's at the back. So then I had to go there unwillingly, but I went. It was quite fun, you know, because there were other girls my age. And
so I must have gone there to school then, because I just remember this.
And later on, there. We all went into that school, so you must have gone.
I went to an adolescent class.
And you were only 12.
And it was also run on German lines. I'd only ever been to and English school.
All this German literature.
I was totally German. I mean, I'd written funny letters to aunties.
And all this.
I felt like a fish out of water.
And, you know, anybody could teach, taught anything, yeah. That's funny. And, you know, the funny French you learn in English schools. Well, we had French, and she said to me, you read that. And I read it the way we'd been taught at Newland. And they all just shrieked. They just laughed.
Because they'd learnt it in Germany, the French ways.
This is my awful, you know, oh, la plume de ma tante and all that dreadful French. I mean, we never spoke it at Newland, we just wrote it. I used to think I was quite good at French. And then the winter came, November by then, and our mother, every time she opened the Sea View door, she just about
there were just summer camps, you see, really, these holiday camps.
And there was no heating, so she said, I want to move.
Because we had to go out to the dining room. They used to ring that big bell that's still hanging there. And you used to wrap up to go out for every meal, wind and gales and rain. And
this is really quiet.
Then hang all your clothes. That lady in there who'd come from the prison. She'd gone into a prison and been interned
in Belfast. She'd been in Belfast prison, and she sat at our table, and she always would tell us about how wonderful it was in the prison. You know, damask tablecloths and china cups, and
she'd always say, "In prison war das besser."
Everything she had in prison was so much more. The food was like
always in prison. I could just see her mouth.
Yes,
she had a cap on, didn't she?
She had a woolly cap. Yes, she probably never took it off with coming across. Just in prison. So, we went to look at a house on where Nelly lives, Bradda West Road. You know, they gave our mother two addresses. They said, well, yes, with a baby, you don't want to be there. Go and see these houses. And there's one in Bradda West Road. What was it called? Next to Nelly's, just a couple of doors down from Nelly's. And we looked at it, and it was a big attic room, and freezing. But the woman said, I don't like it. We didn't like the landlady. I mean, we were choosy. I don't like her. So then we went to Blair Athol in the Prom in Port of Mary.
That's just lost its name for the first time, hasn't it?
Oh, and we had this gorgeous old sheepskin rugs on the floor. And it was a big attic, but for all four of us. And she was so sweet.
This was the landlady.
Yes, this was in Port of Mary.
So we stayed there with the hislops. And there were only... I think there were about 19 in Blair Athol. I wish I could find the picture I did.
I painted a picture of a real long donkey and everybody with a sort of a likeness sitting on this donkey because it was called Blair Athol. But these German women used to call it Blauer Esel.
Because they used to say Blair
Athol. Which
Athol,
is a blue donkey. So I did a picture of all of us waving and smiling watercolours because we're always painting. That must be a town.
It must be. You see, if we had time...
And I tried to get a likeness of everybody, you see. Probably our little sister hanging onto the tail at the end.
It was Margot, I think, was on the tail. Margot and Addie.
Oh, I wish...
Where did you get the paints from?
I don't know. We must have had
paints. We might have packed our paint boxes.
We grew up in a very small private school, and we had... I still have it at home. A very small paint box with only the very few colours, because we learnt to mix colours from the word go at five. We used to go in for all the... diploma things at the London School of Royal School of Drawing and that from the word go. So we were really taught art, and we probably took our little, knowing us.
Yes, we wouldn't go anywhere without our paint boxes.
That policewoman said, well, take anything, you know, jigsaws or books. So I can only imagine we took our little paint box.
I think we must have done.
Could you have bought things?
Oh, we could have bought
paint boxes. We could, but we didn't, because we'd have them at home if we had, because we haven't given up anything in our house.
Our mother wouldn't have bought paint boxes if we'd got our own. Oh,
what did you do for money?
Well, our mother had, we had...
Father had lost his business the minute the war started. He would import with Germany. So all our lives, until and we started earning. Remember. We must have lived on father's savings.
When they collected
in the camp.
Yeah, yes, when they collected, our father, I always remember this, on the 1st of September, they said to our mother, because, you know, kids are always flapping ears, hanging about.
Yours were, mine didn't.
And they said to our mother, have you enough to live on? We take him away. And my father said, well, yes, he said, there is enough there, because I went to the bank this morning and I got out £80. Well, £80 in those days must have been, you know, worth quite a bit, a fortune. I mean, maids used to get 15 bob a week. And I think the average wage was about £1.10 or something, you know, £2 maybe. So our mother had this £80 and it would have lasted for years. And I don't know whether, I think she always kept it in cash. I don't, lots of people put the money in the Manx banks. And our father, I remember he could have it sent across from his bank to the Manx bank later on, as you know, we were here longer. So we could buy what we wanted. I mean, the very second day we were here in the camp, our mother bought us new shoes. So my diary bought new shoes.
I didn't, I think only you did.
I got some beach shoes and I think you got some later.
What did the locals think about you going into a shop and buying?
Oh, they probably didn't.
Well, they had good business. They would have normally been the end of season.
See,
they were all gorgeous. It was just, well, you wanted to talk to Mona and all the people.
Yes, for us it was just normal living. I mean, you go with your mother, she'd say you need some new shoes, you go to a shoe shop, you buy. I mean,
it was
so free, it was like being on holiday. We were just, and we could walk from Port Erin to Port
Erin. They probably just looked upon us as extended holiday makers.
So there's no animosity there at all?
Never.
Well, not that we noticed, ever.
Don't think there was, but when you hear the...
I mean, if you behaved yourself properly and behaved normally, I don't think there was any... I mean, there's no reason to be. And I went down to there and had a perm. My mother said, oh, you know, your hair just see when... I'd never had a perm, it was just dead straight. We were putting curlers and I had a perm down there at the beauty shop, and it was one of those where you're all strung up, so you won't remember that. I've seen pictures of it. You said,
you're
all
strung
wired
up on the electric.
And you came out with a face like a beetroot. So then we're in Blair Athol, and it was, oh, it was such a happy house. But even then, there were the little ructions, you know.
Yes, it was women versus women.
If Mrs. Hyssop always used to get the tea ready, you know, there'd be a plate of buns on that table there, and then you'd sneak in before tea and you'd see what bun was where, and very rarely there was a ginger bun. And this one woman had looked in and she'd seen a ginger bun on her table.
Was this Stauber?
Yes, Stauber.
Oh, she was a very wild Austrian lady.
And there was a ginger bun there, and she thought, right, I'm coming in first. The minute the gong goes, I'll be in there and I'll get that ginger bun.
We all had our own tables and she would have just had the one on her table.
Yes. With the other, she sat with two others. So we came in for tea and she probably rushed in, you know, because she knew there was the ginger bun when it had gone.
In its place, probably a plain bun.
In its place, a plain bun.
Somebody had swapped the bun.
So you never heard such a row. Mine buns, she kept
saying. Yes, she always said mine buns.
Mine buns.
They had mine buns.
Her ginger bun had gone and she screamed and accused everybody.
Like were dreadful.
And then finally, the young woman who sat at our table, who had a little Margot, she was only about, she couldn't even speak. She was maybe nine, she was a year, I think. But she didn't really speak. She used to just talk baby talk. So she finally said, because she had to, somebody had to own it. She said, well, she said, all right then, I took the ginger bun for my little girl because she likes ginger buns. So this Austrian woman drew herself up and she said, in Austrian.
Oh, yes, that's
she said,
that.
Funny. The child can't even speak and yet she tells you she prefers ginger
buns. Oh, that's another family quotation. Das Kind kann nicht reden.
Kann noch nicht sprechen und sagt schon, es ist gern ginger buns.
And then there were rows. Quotes.
There were rows about which chair they sat on, and this one big Cologne woman from Cologne, she tipped off the little Austrian woman off her chair because she always sat there.
Oh, that was dreadful. We kids, we used to
loved it. We used to sit there giggling away behind corners.
And we had, not curfew, Schweigerstunde there.
Yes.
Nobody was allowed to speak between 7 and 8, so the ladies could read. And we kids were longing to talk.
And that's when you got
we'd
your
sit
giggles.
Behind the couch and get the giggles. We'd sit on the floor. Didn't
and there were two other girls our age.
And that one who used to sit in the rocking chair and sniff and squeak her rockers.
Oh,
and
that was Moke.
Oh, Moke.
Yes, it was Moke.
And we'd be wanting to giggle. And this went on a whole hour. Well, it was an eternity for a teenager, wasn't it?
When you're longing to screech and giggle and whisper, and you start whispering and
And she'd sniff and squeak her rockers.
That was milk, yes.
Can I stop?